Okay, good morning, everyone. Daf Kuf Hey. Back on Kuf Dalet, and we're starting at the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we are going to start darshaning Echa. It's not abundantly clear why we're about to do this. Yesterday we ended off discussing Chizkiyahu inviting the Babylonians in. The Gemara in Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis spent a lot of time discussing the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim and how important it is. Right, it starts on the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and it continues through the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we discussed what consequences come about from both doing Hachnasas Orchim and from not doing Hachnasas Orchim. And the Gemara ended off by pointing out that Chizkiyahu did Hachnasas Orchim, but inappropriately. He invited the Babylonians into his palace, showed off some of his treasures. The Gemara discussed yesterday what some of the treasures were that Chizkiyahu showed off. And the Babylonians thought to themselves, great, next time we come, we're not going to come as guests, we're going to come as owners. And so, it leads the Gemara to do the following. We're going to darshan Echa. It's almost like we're going to be reading Medrash right now. Probably most of what we're reading right now could be found in various Midrashim on Echa. And so it'll be, first bit of today's Gemara is going to be extraordinarily depressing. Understandably. Okay. The Megillas Echa is made up of five chapters, and each one of them is made up of an acrostic. It's made up of Aleph Beis. So you go through the first, you look at the first parak in Echa, and you'll see it's 22 psukim, the first parak in Echa. If I can find it, it'd be even better. You'll see that's it's 22 psukim, and it follows the Aleph Beis. You'll notice that in Perek Bey is also 22 Psukim, but there's a little bit of a, I'll say a mess up, it's not a mess up, Gemara will point this out later. In the second Perek, the Ayin and the Pei are switched around. So in other words, it's Pasuk Tes Zayin in Perek Bey, P.M. Kol Oyevayich, Sharku V'yachaku Shein, and then Pasuk Yed Zayin, Asa Hashem Asher Zamam B'tzayim Raso. So it starts with a pay and it ends with an ayin, and that's not correct. And then in Paragimel, same phenomena as well. The pay and the ayin are switched around. Okay, so the Gemara is going to pick up on that as well. Okay, so that is that's a Perek Hey, by the way, does not go out of base. Okay, fine.
Is it more picking up on Echa now because of the tragedies that
are? Yeah. I assume that's a connection.
Connection.
Yeah, it's a connection. All right, let's begin. Kuf Dalet and Aleph, it's towards the bottom of the page, and it starts with the words, Echa Yashva Badad. Okay, right, it's definitely a new topic.
Those are the first words on my
mind? Yeah, I'll tell you the truth. If I find it, I'll tell you better.
The first one is Aleh.
Okay, good. Right, it's about seven lines from the bottom of the page.
Right.
The last, it's like the last five words of the line, Echa Yashva Badad.
Good.
Okay. Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Echa Yashva Badad. Okay, so Amar Rava. So we're darshaning. This is the first pasuk in Echa. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mimnei Malach Yisrael Be'echa. The word Echa, specifically Echa, what's significant about the word? Mimnei Sha'av Roshoshim Vesheish Krisus Shebetara. Echa and Gematria. Aleph, Yud, Chav, Hey. So the Gematria is 36. It corresponds to the 36 Krisus Shebetara. You open up to the Masechta Krisus. You open up to the first mission over there. You will find that there are 36 Isurei Krisus in the Torah. 36 violations in the Torah where the punishment, if done intentionally, is Kares. So the Echa in Gematria 36 means it's an indication that we violated all 36 Krisus Shebetara. I'm Rav Yochanan, Mimnei Malach Aleph Beis, and why specifically Aleph Beis? Why is Echa written in acrostic? Mimnei Sha'av Ra'al Torah Shenin Aleph Beis, because it's a response to the fact that we violated the Torah. Torah comes with Aleph Beis, so therefore Echa is there to indicate to us that we violate the Torah. Yashva Badad, continuing in the Pasuk in Echa, it's still Pasuk Aleph. Amar Rava, Amar Rebbe Yochanan, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Ani Amat Bishkon Yisrael Betach Badad, Ein Yaakov El Eretz Dagan, V'tirosh Av Shamayu Ye'afu Tal. We are Yisrael, I'm sorry, V'yishkon Yisrael Betach. The promise is that we would live in security. Meaning in that we would have bordering neighbors and we would be fine, but we would live in security because we are We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we have protection. And meanwhile, Achshav Yeh Badan Moshavam. But now, as a result of the Chor Meitha Mikdash, we're solitary. We're by ourselves, and we don't have people around us, and we don't have that security anymore. Ha'ir Ravasi Am. Again, we're still in Pasuk Aleph. The Gemara is just taking phrase by phrase of the Pasuk and darshaning each part of the Pasuk. Amirav, Amirav Yochan, Shayu Masin, Ketan Lagado, Gadola Ketan, Kadesh Yulam Banim Harbei. In terms of the city that once was, the Pasuk says, Ha'ir Rabasi Am, there was a lot of people there. And part of the strategy the Gemara describes is that we were going to populate. And the marriages were arranged in order to create the most population. So the Gemara's explanation over here is that we would marry older men to younger women, younger men to older women. So Rashi over here says we don't really mean young children. Just simply means that we matched the mates so that there would be more of a population. Rashi, see Rashi, last Rashi on this page for a description of how exactly. Why exactly that extracted the most population? Haisa ka'almana, right? Still in that first pasuk, right? Just phrase by phrase, we were like a widow. Amrav Yehuda, Amrav ki'almana v'lo almana mamish, like a widow, but not exactly a widow. El kiisha shalach ba'la midias hayam v'dat alach zar eleha, right? Like a woman who's married, but her husband went on a very long business trip, and he'll come back eventually, but right now he's gone. So a widow in the sense that he's not here, but not like a real widow, not like the husband's dead. Okay, like a widow. Fine. Next. Rabasi bagayim sharti b'medinos. You were many amongst the goyim. Sharasi b'medinos. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochan, kol makom shein hochin, na'asin sarim la'adonehem. Over here, we become like princes to the other nations. Okay? The Gemara is going to give us a story now that gives us this indication that wherever we go, we're recognized. We're recognized as unique, special individuals. Tanu Rabbanan. Ma'aseh b'shnei bnei adam shenishbu b'har Karmel. The Gemara tells a story about two people who were taken captive on Har Karmel, right, in the city of Yerushalayim. V'haya shavai mahalach achareim. Now the captor was walking behind them. So picture the scene now. Two Jewish people taken off into exile, and the captives are walking behind Amalechem and Chavero. Now, as they're walking, so one of the captives says to the other captive, see over there in the distance, right, there's a camel over there. So, Gamal Shema Halechas Lifanenu, Suma Ba'achas Me'enaham. I tell you, just remarking about the camel that's walking in front of them. Camel has nothing to do with them. The camel's just in the distance, but they see the camel and they're having a conversation about the camel. Okay, that camel over there, blind in one eye. Okay, what do they know? They knew this information. Utuunish they know those, and you see that they're carrying two jugs. Achashem v'achashoshemen. One jug has wine, and the other jug has oil. Ushnei b'nei adam amanigam osah. And the two men who are leading the camel, achad miyisrael v'echan echad yisrael v'echan achri. One's a Jew and one's a non-Jew. Good. This is all the information they say about a camel and two men in the distance, and the captors were like, how did they know all that? They knew about the vision of the camel, they knew about one man being Jewish. How did they know all that information? Amalam Shavayim, Amkshe Aref, Me'ayin Atem Yodim. So the Shavai, the captor, says to them, you people are so stubborn, it's unbelievable. And where exactly, how exactly do you know all this information? Amr Lo. So as far as the camel's concerned, well, that's obvious. Meaning, look in front of the camel and you'll see that the camel's eating on only grass on one side of him and not on the other side of him. So it's clear that the camel doesn't see the grass on the other side of him. Okay? That's number one. Number two, as far as the two jugs, one made out of oil, wine, and the other one made out of oil, also obvious, shal yayin mitaftef, shal kev, shal shemen, mitaftef itself. Because if you look at the drippings that come out, even though we're not close to it, but if you just simply look at the drippings, you'll see that the wine goes down into the ground, because it's very liquid, it doesn't have any viscosity. And meanwhile, the oil, which has a thick viscosity, so it doesn't drain down into the ground, it stays, it floats, literally floats on top. And as far as the people who are leading the camel, well, look when they pause to relieve themselves, so the non-Jew just simply, he just helps himself to relieve himself wherever he is. The Jew, so he goes behind the bushes and he relieves himself behind the bushes and he's more tsanua, he's more modest because Jews in general are just simply more modest. Okay. The captors wanted to know, like these two Jews who were taken into captivity now, they're like Sherlock Holmes. They're like, they figured it all out. So, Radaf Achareyem, so the captor now runs after the camel and the two drivers of the camel, Umat Vekedivrayim. And it turns out that these Jews were absolutely right about every point. Baman Ashkan Roshan. So they give him a kiss on top of the head. Ve'avim Leveisan. And the captor takes him home and Vasal Mamsuda Gedola, and he gives him a big meal. And what they're doing, eating the meal, I don't know. V'haya merakit lefneim, and he would dance in front of them. V'amar baruch shabach b'zar shel Avram, v'nasal lamechach maso. Wow, blessed are you who were the offspring of Avraham, and nasal lamechach maso. Uvechom makum sheim hochem nasim sarim la'adoneim. Wherever you go, you become sarim, you become princess. So, right, upatran v'hach levatehem l'shalom. And he says to them, okay, you guys can go home now. I'm done. I clearly am impressed enough where I'm no longer going to be your captive, your captor.
You have this whole thing, you know, by the Tzvayim Shehayu and the Tzvayim Shehayu.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we are still in the first Pasuk. I take it back. Pasuk Beis. Okay, so we darshan Pasuk Aleph, but not every part of the Pasuk, but now we're in Pasuk Beis. Bacho Tivke Balayla. The double language. What's the double language? So the first one we're all familiar with. Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Echad Amikdash Rishon, Echad Amikdash Sheni. So the double language refers to the two Batei Mikdash. Appreciate the Chiddush over here, because this is Echa that we're reading. Echa was authored by Yirmiyahu, which was a witness of the destruction of the first temple. So he's writing B'nevuah that that there's going to be really a double cry, because there'll be a cry over this Beis HaMikdash and there's going to be a cry over the next Beis HaMikdash. Of course, we're all familiar with the fact that both of them were destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So the double b'chiyah, the double crying, is for the crying over the first and second Beis HaMikdash. Balayla, and then it says they cry at night. Why specifically at night? Aliskei Laila. It has to do with something else that happened that night. So it goes back to the story of the Meraglim. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochanan, Oso Laila Tisha B'Av Hayar. That night was Tisha B'Av. The Gemara in Tanis takes us step by step from the time that they left Egypt and tells us exactly how we know that that night was Tisha B'Av. The Gemara over here in Chelek doesn't go through the whole dating. But if you want, take a look at the end of Tanis, where the Gemara over there goes through the entire, right, journey by journey, dating by date by date, how we know that that night was Tisha B'Av. For now, suffice to say that we know. You're crying for no reason, right? Absolutely no reason to cry. The Meraglim, the spies come back and they say, we can't defeat this country. And I'm telling you, you can, so there's no reason why you should be crying right now. So, right, so the classic line goes, you have no reason to cry, I'll give you a reason to cry. Okay. Davar Acher. Now, the Gemara is going to give other suggestions in terms of why it says Balayla. So, the first one has to do with the fact that the reason why they're crying has to do with the original crying that took place on the eve of Tisha B'Av. Davar Acher Balayla, she called Habocha Balayla Kolo Nishma. It's easier to hear crying at night than it is during the day. Sound is better produced and better heard at night than it is during the day. Why is that? So Rashi here brings down the Gemara in Yuma. Rashi says, "Kida'amina ba'alma b'bnei ma'ina kol nishma b'yom kebalayla." Rashi writes. Rashi's on the right hand column, a little bit less than halfway down the page. "B'bnei galgal chama haminasir birakia." the sun, as it makes its way through the day, the imagery is that it cuts its way through the rakia. It's like a saw grinding against the rakia. And you can't hear things because of the background noise. Okay, we may not be that perceptive to this background noise that takes place during the day, but at night, things are quieter, things are calmer. And the point is that it's just more effective to cry at night because more people hear it and there'll be more rachmanis, there'll be more compassion. And Rashi says that's the point the Navi's making. The meaning, even though, this is now pshat in the pasuk, even though you're crying at night, still no one's going to comfort you, even though it's a better time to cry. Additionally, when you cry at night, the kochavim and the mazalos cry together with you. When you cry at night, other people will cry together with you. It's basically the same idea. It's right. I don't know if there's any difference between this and the previous pshat, but the basic idea is that you cry at night, more people hear you, more people have rachmanus. Gemara tells a fascinating story. A woman who was a neighbor of Rabbi Gamliel, shemeis bena v'haisa boche alav v'alayla. So her son dies, and she cries at night. Shema Rabbi Gamliel kola ubacha kenegda. Now she's crying at night, and Rabbi Gamliel is her neighbor. Rabbi Gamliel hears her crying, and Rabbi Gamliel can't help himself, but he cries as well. The pain that she's suffering, he can't live next to her without reacting and responding as well. And he gets emotional, and he starts crying every night. And he cries so much that his eyelashes fall out. The Gemara uses this terminology often to describe just persistent, consistent crying. And the student's reaction over here, it's hard to digest. But the student's reaction is that they turn to the woman, they say, you know, you can't live here anymore. You got to move. You got to leave because you just... You're killing Rabbi Gamliel, and you can't be here anymore. And it certainly seems non-compassionate on the parts of the students, but they're very protective of the Rebbe. And you know, obviously Rabbi Gamliel is not going to excuse her, obviously, and so the students do so. Okay. All right. V'dimasa alechya pasuk beis right b'achos ifkeh b'layla v'dimasa alechya the tears on the cheek. It's like a woman crying over her husband that she married as a very young woman. As I read this pasuk in preparation, I'm like, wait a second. That's one of the last kinnas. But now I understand that one of the last kinnas that we say is really modeled after the pasuk in Yoel. Yoel, one of the Cheyasar, four prakim, and right, Elika Basila, right, and there was once upon a time when I went through Yoel with Rabbi Cohen in YU. So, once upon a time I knew it, but now I realize that's the kina is fashioned after that pasuk in Yoel. Okay, Hayut Sareha LaRosh. Okay, we're jumping ahead now. Hayut Sareha LaRosh. I'm going to guess it's pasuk hey, and I'm guessing correctly. Right. Well. It's, you know, it's olive base. So if you know your olive base, you know which pasuk it is. Hayut sarel larosh. So its enemies will become the head. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol ha-metza Yisrael nasa rosh. By attacking and being enemy of the Jewish people, you automatically are the head. Meaning the Jewish people are so significant that when they're attacked, they can't be attacked by some loser country. Right? Excuse me. the adolescent terminology, but they're not going to. Right, it has to be a country that's significant, that's substantial. So Nasa Rosh, Namar Chilo Muaf, Lasher Mutzak La Kesar Rishon, Hakal Artsa Zvulun VArtsa Naftili VaAcheron Hich BeDerech Hayam Avar Yarden Galal Hagoyim. So the pasuk gives us this sense that it's not going to be some lightweight country that's going to besiege us. It's got to be a heavyweight country. Amar Rav Yochanan kol ha-matzik l'Yisrael eino ayev. Oh, and by the way, anyone who is who attacks the Jewish people never will become tired. They'll be emboldened, they'll be strengthened by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Back to Eicha lo aleichem kol ovrei darach. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochanan, mikan lekubanam min haTorah. The Navi says something interesting, right? Lo aleichem, not upon you, kol ovrei darach, anyone who passes by. Meaning, you see what's happening to us? It's like Yerushalayim is talking. You see what's happening to us? It shouldn't happen to you. Mikan, the Gemara's comment, Rav Yochanan's comment here, lekubanam min haTorah. It's interesting, Rashi. Look at Rashi. Mikan lekubanam min haTorah, still on the right-hand column of Rashi, kisha adam odia tzara la'acher. Right, yeah, tzaras, and you're telling your friend tzaras, tzarich sheyomer lo lo savozos lecha. So then, after you finish telling him the tzaras, you should say to him, and this shouldn't be on you. What I'm experiencing right now should not go on you. Kamosha ba'ilai ki kasher hu lishmoa shepamim choseres alavs. It's hard to hear other people's tzaras because you think to yourself, wow, if it goes on him, it can go on me. V'hamak b'alkach in bo mishum nichosh. And Rashi says, and don't worry, this is not nichush. You are not. What's an English word for nichush?
Sorcery.
Sorcery, divination. I think they say, yeah. Right? It's not like you're predicting that this is going to happen to the other individual by saying this. It's fine to say it. It's not a prohibition of nichush. That's one pshat in Rashi. Rashi offers a couple of other pshatim in terms of what the actual word kubalna means. Right, see Rashi for two other pshatim, but that's the basic idea that comes out over here from this pasuk. That when you are Eicha, really is just it's the Jewish people / Yerushalayim telling its problems to the world. And in pasuk Yud Aleph, the Navi says, and by the way, all that we're experiencing right now shouldn't fall upon you. Okay. Sorry. Amar Rava. Yeah, sorry. Kol ovrei derech. Amar Rav Amar, Amar Rav, asuni kol ovrei aldas. You treated us like we were ovrei aldas, like we just totally gave up our religion. De'ilu b'stomf k'siv, ha'ashem im t'yos d'om, ve'ilu b'shlaim k'siv, mi'maram sholach esh batz masai ve'yeredna. We were treated like stone. Now, stone were ovrei das. In other words, they totally gave up on religion. Right? They were an irreligious country, an immoral country. And to a certain degree, we were treated the same way. We were ovrei das. And then, in this comparison between us and Sodom, seems like we were treated worse. Uksi vayigdal avon bas amim echad tas Sodom. And it says that we were more than chatas Sodom. Our sin was greater than that of Sodom. Now Rashi over here at this point explains the Gemara one of two ways. The Gemara literally translates "v'chim misopanim yesh badavar," and why were we showed any favoritism? If we sinned, if our sins were greater than Sodom, so why were we showed any favoritism? There was an extra measure given to Yerushalayim than that of Sodom. By Sodom, it says that the sin of Sodom was that they no longer had bread. They didn't support any of their impoverished. The compassionate women cook their own children. Now, what exactly is the point that the Gemara is trying to make over here? So Rashi goes in one of two directions. Now we'll look at the left-hand column of Rashi, and you'll see Rashi over here offers two pshatim in the Gemara, what the point the Gemara is trying to make is. Midi Yisera Latova Rashi, about four lines down, it's hard to even describe this, but the women in Yerushalayim, when they cooked their children to eat their children, they invited one another for the meal. So as devastating as it was that they had to eat their own children, but they thought of one another and they invited one another to each other's meal. The ilu b'stom k'siv yana nivev yon loach zika umida ze kapara aleim shalo nevchu. And as far as Sodom is concerned, they didn't care about one another. They didn't take care of one another. Even as even as they were losing bread, they just didn't care about one another. And for that reason, we were spared as opposed to Sodom, which was not spared. Okay? So that's one pshat in Rashi. Meaning that essentially our sins were the same as Sodom's sins, and therefore we should have meted the same fate as Sodom, but because we were more rachmanios, we had more compassion, and we had more of a consideration of one another, so therefore we were not destroyed. That's one pshat in Rashi. Lashon acher, mida yisera pranios gedola haisa b'yishoyim, shiladem hayu ochlo zu imzu, tichziv hayu lavros lamo, v'ilu b'stom ksiv gon tzavas lechem, shalot tamu tam aoni. Another pshat, says Rashi, goes like this. There was no favoritism. When God punished Yerushalayim, basically, the punishment for Yerushalayim was greater than the punishment of Sodom, and there was no favoritism. Meaning, to the Gemara's question of v'chi masel panim, does God show favoritism? The Gemara's answer, according to the second pshat in Rashi, is no. Hashem doesn't show favoritism. If you look at the punishment, you'll see what we had to endure in Yerushalayim was worse than what they had to endure in Sodom. So there was no favoritism. Okay? And because the punishment was great in Yerushalayim, we ended up cooking our own children, eating our own children, so at least it spared us from having being destroyed like what took place in Sodom. Okay, that's a second pshat in Rashi in terms of how to understand the sequence of this Gemara. Back to the Gemara. I'm sorry. Sila kol avirai Hashem bekirbi Sila kol avirai. Our enemies trampled upon us. Kadam shamelach aver nifsilu mat beazu. Rashi says the word sila comes from the same word as misila. You have a path. How do you make a path? So Rashi explains that people tread down on a certain area, and eventually, if enough people tread upon it, it creates a path. So here, Sila, same idea. Enough people tread upon the Jewish people, and we become obsolete. It's like, you know, like an old coin, says the Gemara, where, you know, you take out an old coin, and then one person says to the other, no, that's Nifsala Matbeza, that coin doesn't work anymore, that coin is no longer in circulation. This is Perek Beis in Eicha. I pointed this out in the beginning. When you look at the four prakim, the first four prakim of Eicha, it's acrostic, it's Aleph Beis. But in Perek Gimel and Perek Gimel, the Ayin Pei Psukim are flipped around. The Pei comes before the Ayin, and the Gemara picks up on that. Patsu alechem piem amrav amrav yochem bishua ma hiktem pei la Ayin bishvil. The pay comes before the ayin because the pay is the symbolic of the mouth. That's the word pay means mouth. Ayin, the letter ayin, also is the same word as the eye. And the mouth came before the eye. The miraglim, when they came back from Eretz Yisrael, so they spoke about things they didn't see. Right? Shamru bepia mashallah ra'u be'einehem. And the Psukim and Eicha, the order of the Psukim and Eicha, are reflective of that. Okay. Ochle ami achlu lechem Hashem lo karo. I'm sorry, ochle ami achlu lechem Hashem lo karo. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol ochem alachmam sheyisol toim tam lechem, v'sheino ochem alachmam sheyisol eino toim tam lechem. First and foremost, you want to eat bread, you have to... you have to eat the bread of the Jewish people. The bread of the Jewish people is bread. Anything else is simply not bread. Okay, nothing tastes like bread, like the bread of the Jewish people. Hashem lo kara'u, so they didn't call out to Hashem. This is Musar, this is Tochacha, rebuke of the Jewish people. What does that mean? Rav amar elu adayanim, Ushmul amar elu malam de tinokas. Rav and Shmuel have a debate in terms of who were the people that acted in a dysfunctional way. So one pshat is that there were dayanim. Rashi says mate mishpat mishpat v'nasem ayu lechem ami lemachle oivav. They perverted justice. Okay, that's one pshat. And the other pshat, Shmuel pshat, is malam de tinokas. They didn't. Right, Rashi says osim malachtem remiyah. They just they acted in a deceptive way. They were they didn't exactly what they did incorrectly, what they did inappropriately. Neither Rashi nor the Gemara is clear, but these are the people that should have behaved the best. They're the role models, and they didn't serve as good role models, and that's part of the tochacha in Eicha. Okay. That ends that subject matter. Okay, so almost an entire amud of the Gemara over here in Chelek, going through some of the Pesukim in Eicha, and both darshaning and expounding on the Pesukim in Eicha. Okay, now we go back to our topic of Perek Chelek. Okay? Everyone thought of this question. The Gemara now is about to articulate. Our Mishnah, all the way back in Daf Tzadi, tells us that there are three kings and four commoners who don't have a portion of the world to come. Who knows this information? All right, who told Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi about these three kings and the four commoners? They don't have a portion of the world to come. That's not information that you and I should be knowing. All right, who did that? Mi man'an. The Gemara wants to know. Who figured this out? Who counted these people? So I'm Rav Ashi, Anshe Knesset HaGadol Manu. So this was done by Anshe Knesset HaGadol. They, Anshe Knesset HaGadol, members of the Great Assembly, these were the last of the Nevi'im. As the Second Temple was being built, so Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi is probably Ezra. So these are the last of the Nevi'im. These are the same group of men who put together Shmoneh Esrei, right? These are the same group of men who are telling us that certain people, three and four, do not get a portion of the world to come. They know this information, and they masoretically pass it on to us. Echad. They wanted to count one more person. Now, the Gemara does not mention this person by name. You look at Rashi, take a peek at Rashi, and you will see that the Gemara is considering adding Shlomo to the list of people who don't get a portion of the world to come. Now that's, right, talk about shocking. That's tremendous shock value. The Gemara now will spend a good amount of time, right, and not a one-liner, but a good amount of time having a consideration that Shlomo HaMelech should also be included in the list of people who do not receive a portion of the world to come. The same Shlomo HaMelech who built the first temple, right, that Shlomo HaMelech, so, no, he shouldn't be in. The consideration is to be in this list. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's so interesting because essentially, what's going to happen over here, let me give you a overview of the next, I would say, paragraph of Gemara, is that there's going to be a debate between the Anshe Knesset HaGadol and some heavenly voice as to whether he should be counted or not. Right, it's like Lahavdil, right? But it's like an induction to the Hall of Fame, right? They're going to just debate whether or not he should be included, should not be included, and it's just so fascinating because it's like our vote counts as much as the Kadosh Baruch Hu's vote, and I know that's bizarre and it's difficult to process, but you'll see over the next paragraph of Gemara that's essentially what's going to be happening over here as to whether or not he should be voted in or not.
And the thing is that these guys are voting 200 or 300 years after these guys have passed away.
Right, right.
So, like, what were these Neshama doing before these guys voted?
I don't know. I mean, certainly they had the historical perspective, so they could have a vote, but, okay. I'm presenting the Gemara. I'm not claiming that I fully understand it, but It's so interesting. Okay, Bikshu od limnos echad. They wanted to, right? Bikshu means they requested. They this was a desire they had to add one more to the list. Bar the musti yukner shalaviv v'nishtacha lifneim. So first comes out a image of David HaMelech, and the image of David HaMelech prostrates himself before the Anshe Knesset HaGadol as a way of supplicating and begging, please do not add Shlomo, my son, to the list. Now, by the way, I also need to point this out in the beginning. Why? Right? Why is Shlomo having consideration of being included in this list?
Because he intermarried.
Yeah. So the Navi, if you read the Navi, it's very compelling. So he married Bas Paro in addition to other other women from other countries. They introduced Avodah Zarah into Yerushalayim. The Navi sounds like he himself worshipped idolatry, which is not to be understood literally. But you when you read the Navi, you understand that there was some, you know, some shady stuff going on in the Malchus of Shlomo. Okay, so David comes along, the image of David comes along and begs and supplicates and says, please don't add David. And they weren't ready to, in other words, they were steadfast in wanting to include Shlomo on the list. Out comes a fire from heaven and singes the bench that they're sitting on. And they're still steadfast. They're still, we're inducting him. Not the Hall of Fame. Yosha Baskov Amra Lahem Khazisa Ishmahir Bamachtol if Nemalachim Yitzasev Baizasev Lefne Khashuchim. So this man who was Mahir Bamalachto, right, he hurried up the work. Misha Hikdim Basila Veso Velo Arosha Basi Bana Bishavashanim Veso Bana Bishosha Sreshana. Right, this man, let's talk about this man, Shlomo HaMelech. First and foremost, he built the Beis HaMikdash before he built his own house. It took 13 years for him to build the Beis HaMikdash, and only took him 7 years to build his own house. Clearly, he put HaKadosh Baruch Hu before himself. So this is the man that you want to put in the list in our Mishnah, as someone who doesn't have a portion of the world to come. You want him to be together with that list of Chashuchim, dark people, meaning people who will not see daylight, right? The list of kings who are do not receive the portion of the world to come. And again, for reasons that I do not understand, but obviously they understood the situation infinitely better than I did, they said, no, we want to include him in the list. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Iyuv. It takes the Pasuk a little bit out of context, but still, the Pasuk in Iyuv is reflective of the idea. God says, I choose, and it's not you. It's not up to you to choose, and that ends that discussion. Okay. Fascinating give and take in the Gemara. I don't fully understand it, but it's, you know, something to reckon with. Okay. There's another opinion out there. We have in our Mishnah, and the Gemara now identified, these are the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, have put a list together of three and four. Three kings, four commoners, who do not receive a portion of the world to come. Darshei Rishumos, Rashi says, Darshei Psukim. They explain Psukim, Kedechsev, Esa Rishum B'Ksav, Emes Hayomim, She Lekulam Yeshlam Chelak, Afilu Menashe V'Yar Melachav. People who expound on Psukim. Another group of Rabbanim, I don't know who they are, the Gemara does not identify who they are, but they disagree with our Mishnah. Okay? Again, we talked about this earlier, by Menashe, right? The Machlokas Tanayim. Whether he did or did not receive a portion of the world to come. Lamai Nafkamina, what practical difference is there? I'm not sure. Same thing over here. The Gemara now is going to have a basic debate whether or not these people do or do not receive a portion of the world to come. Kulam Baim La'olam Haba. And according to this other group of Rabbanim, these people mentioned in our Mishnah also are included in Olam Haba. Meaning, according to these group of people, there is no list. Every single person, even Menashe, Yeravam, and Achav, right? Achitofel. All the people mentioned in our Mishnah, all of them receive some portion of the world to come. Shenamar. And it's based on how they read a pasuk in Tehillim. Right? They're expounding. That's why they're called Dorsha Rishumas. They're expounding this pasuk. Liyah Gilad v'li Menashe v'Ephraim ma'oz roshi yaser mechokik e'moav sirach tzi al adam ashlich na'ali alai palashta hisroi li. I'm sorry, hisroi e. Okay? That's the pasuk in Tehillim. Difficult pasuk to translate. And the Gemara now, forget the pasuk shot, the Gemara now is going to expound these Rabbanim. The Dorsha Rishumas are going to expound each part of the pasuk to be a reference of all the people that we're talking about in our Mishnah. Li Gilad ze Achav. Shenafa b'Ramos Gilad. So Achav died in Gilad. That's the Li Gilad. And Menashe Kemashmo. Now Menashe actually is mentioned by name in this pasuk. even though everyone else is coded and encoded in this pasuk, Menashe is mentioned by name, could very well be because Menashe actually did tshuva. Achav, Yeravam, we never saw them do tshuva. Menashe actually did tshuva. Remember, by Menashe, there's actually a debate amongst the Tanaim and the Mishnah whether he's to be included or not. So Menashe, interestingly, is noted by name in the pasuk. Ephraim, Ma'oz, Roshizeh, Yeravam. Dikasim, Ephraim. Right? If I would have known this Gemara, I would have known that Yeravam actually comes from Ephraim, so that's why he's called Ephraim. Yehuda Mechokeki ze Achitofel. Yehuda Mechokeki is a reference to Achitofel, the Kasim of Yehuda. He comes from the tribe of Yehuda. Moav Sirachzi ze Gechazi. Sirachzi, the thing that you wash your clothing against. Right,
washboard.
So that is with reference to Gehazi. Shalak alitz derechitza, because what happened with Gehazi, remember, the Gehazi's chief sin is that along comes Naaman over to Elisha. Naaman is afflicted with saras. Elisha says, go wash in the Jordan River. Naaman goes and washes in the Jordan River, cured of his saras, goes back to Elisha, says to Elisha, I got to pay you. Elisha says, I don't charge. And then Naaman goes back home, and Gehazi follows him back, and Gehazi says, no. You didn't understand Elisha. He meant I'm charging. That's what he meant. And Gehazi collected from Naaman. And Elisha found out, and that's the Iske Seer. I'm sorry, that's the Sirach Tzi. That's a reference to Gehazi. Al Edom Ashlich Naali Ze Doeg Hadomi. The Edom over here refers to Doeg Hadomi. Alai Palashis Isroi Amru Malach Eshos Lefne Kosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Im Yavo David Sharagas Aplishi Varishas Banech Gas Mata Oselo Amalem Alai La Asosam Reim Zelazeh. And the Malach Eshos had the following consideration. Oh, this is good, right? You're going to introduce Doeg and Achitofel and Olam Haba. Wait a second, David's there. Now you have to understand, both Doeg and Achitofel are sworn enemies of David. So how are you going to bring them into Olam Haba when David's over there and David's not going to be that happy that two people who wanted to kill him are now sitting there together with Olam Haba, and Hashem says, don't worry, I'm going to make Reim Zelazeh, I'm going to make Shalom. And that's the end of the pasuk of Yisroei. I'm going to make Reim, I'm going to make friends out of them. Don't worry, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a Shalom maker. Madua Shovava Ha'am Azeh Yushlaim Yishuvah Nitzaches. The Gemara now, for a pretty good amount of time, from here until the two dots, is going to go through a lot of the give and take that the Navi had and the Jewish people with one another. Meaning to say that you find very often the Navi is giving Musar and Tochacha to the Jewish people at the end of that first temple period, and the Jewish people had responses. Obviously not good ones, the temple was destroyed, but still, we're going to go through some of the responses that the Jews had to the Navi. The pasuk in the beginning of Yirmiyahu, towards the beginning of Yirmiyahu, Madu Shavava Ha'am Azeh Yushlaim Meshavah Nitzeches, Amarav Shuvah Nitzeches, Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael Navi. They had a good response to the Navi. Amalam Navi Yisrael Chazur B'Shuvah, Avaseichem Shechatu Heichanheim. The Navi says to them, you have to do tshuva, because think about your ancestors who didn't do tshuva. Where are they now? They're dead. So Amalam, so they look at the Navi and they say, okay, what do you mean? Okay, the ones who didn't do tshuva are dead. And the ones who did do tshuva, they're also dead. So I'm not really sure, this is what the Jews say to the Navi, I'm not sure what your point is. Right? Just because they didn't do tshuva, they died, everyone dies. What's your point? And still the Navi says, no, okay, your objective is to do tshuva. Okay? So you see that the Jews who had a defiance about them, they didn't take the Musar about doing tshuva, and the truth of the matter is that they did have a point. It's not a winning argument, but still, it's a point. Shmuel Amar Bo Asar B'nei Adam V'yashuv L'fanav. Shmuel says that along came 10 men, and they sit in front of Amalem, Chazub Chuva Amalo, Evishamachar Rabba, Vishesha Gershaba, Laklum, Yesh, Laze, Alze, Klum. So these people turn to the Navi, and they say to the Navi, Zechariah, look, God and us, we had a divorce. You know, once you're divorced, that's it. Like, you don't, you have nothing to do with one another. Or another mashal, right? A master that sells a slave. It's done. Like they don't have anything to do with one another. So what, you want us to return to God, but our relationship is finished. I'm lo kash baruch lenavi. Achamor lehem eizah sefer krisus imachem asher shlachtiha. Omi menushai asher machati eschem. Lo. Heim ba menasechem nimkartem v'pishachem shalcha imachem. Yeah, and now we understand pshat in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. The Navi says to them, through God, where's the bill of divorce? We're not divorced. We're separated, but we're not divorced. Or, show me the bill of sale. There's no bill. I didn't sell you. Right? There's distance between us, but I didn't sell you. My dichtiv, David Abdi, Nebuchadnezzar, Abdi Galuv Yaduf Nehmi Shamar V'haya Olam Shasin V'Yisrael Lamach Lecha L'Ficha Chiktim HaKash Baruch V'Karu Abdo. Look, Nebuchadnezzar is called the slave of God. Yeah, because Eved Shekana Nechasim Eved Lami Nechasim Lami. Because Nebuchadnezzar didn't buy us. He's a puppet. He's a puppet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's a slave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when he acquires us, it's not him acquiring us. It's an instrument of God. Va'ola aruchachem hayalot yashir atem omrim yeka goyim kimishbechos harasos l'sheretz eitz ve'eben chayanino m'shem lakim im lo b'yad chazekah v'zorna tuya u'bechem shfucha emloch aleichem. The pasuk in Yechezkel describes the Jewish people. We can't wait to go to exile and be like the non-Jews and worship the gods of the non-Jews. And the Navi Yechezkel describes how God says, like it or not, I'm bringing you back to Israel and I'm going to make Balei Tshuva out of you. I'm Rav Nachman Kol Ki Ayris Kalirsach Rechmana Alan Ulepirkonan. And Rav Nachman puts out a tefillah and he says, I'm looking forward to that kind of anger of God. I want that anger of God. That anger of, I'm bringing you back and you'll see and you're going to get redeemed, like it or not. Pasuk in Yeshayahu, v'yisru l'mishpat alakav yaronu. And you will, v'yisru, you'll be whipped into justice. Yaronu, amar rabba barachana, amar lahem navi l'yisru, chazu b'tshuva. So our response to God is, what do you mean chazru b'tshuva? We have a yetzahara. Yetzahara gets the best of us. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah. So you take your yetzahara and you whip your yetzahara. Amr lo elokav yaronu. And we say, God, you take care of the yetzahara. Right? So it's a petition upon us for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help us out a little bit. Right, bring us back to Israel even against our will. Help us defeat our Yetzirah. Sometimes we're overcome by the Yetzirah and we need a little bit of assistance and aid in terms of doing away with our Yetzirah. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we start now with the four. Right, we've been up until now, right, 15 blot of Gemara and Chelek, right, not almost, and we've been discussing up until this point in time the kings. The kings who do not receive a portion of the world to come. We discussed the kings at length. We discussed in the past 2 weeks which kings we were thinking of adding to the list but did not add to the list. And now, as we go on, as we trek on in the 11th parak of Sanhedrin, we're going to talk about the Hedyotos, the commoners, also we didn't make it. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll discuss a lot of Bilam. A lot of Bilam talk tomorrow. And Bilam, who is also does not receive a portion of the world to come.